Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Alrighty, today, August 16th, 2024, it's 2:08 p.m. The market's been closed about an hour. I just ate a little bit and just getting ready to actually leave for a trip with a lot of friends, about like I think 30 or so people going to an Airbnb. A lot of us are golfing, some of them are going to a winery, and it should just be a really good time. I have to leave with my fiance after she gets home. I'm just recording this podcast before I leave and then scheduling it to be uploaded on Monday, because I'm pretty sure after I get back on Sunday, I'm going to be exhausted. So talking a little bit about my performance so far this year. I mean, in the last like week or two, we've been in this inflection point, right? Maybe like a month ago, we've been in the very red, like meaning like the market's been really scary. Talks of like buying the dip and are you going to sell? All these talks have been happening. But really, as of, let's say, let me bring the SPY chart up real quick. As of 1 month ago or 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we've been bouncing back up. We are now back at the end of July or the first day of August. So the last 2 weeks of losses have now been recovered, and we're just sitting at whether or not we will continue, and we'll see if that continues on Monday. But I am up 57.7K on a 300K portfolio. That puts me at 19.23% year to date for my main portfolio. My 5K account, the much smaller one that initiated with the 5K amount, is up 40.9%. It was up at a high of 72% back in July, but I've faced some losses in this account as well. So now I'm only up 40.9%. Now, higher percentages with smaller accounts really don't matter, just strictly because it's honestly easier to make a higher percentage on a smaller portfolio. It's also easier to lose a higher percentage too. I see more skill in sort of growing a larger account because there's just more at stake, and therefore you have to trade more carefully than you might would a smaller account, because in the back of our head, we can always just reload a smaller account. You know, like say, for example, you're a working person, you've worked for a long time, you have a lot, plenty of saved up, and you decide to try to learn with 5K. You blow the 5K on some really stupid play, you can just reload the 5K. Like, it's not that big of a deal. You can't quite do that with like hundreds of thousands of dollars, or not, at least not as easily. So don't pay too much attention to when you hear a higher percentage is up for a account that you deem is small. For example, for me, I would consider a 5K account very small. and growing at 40%, it's not that big of a deal, TBH. I hope to grow it more so that it could become a mid-size account, maybe like 20-30K. That'd be awesome. But, you know, you'll just have to tune into twitch.tv/realthetagang as I trade that every Monday through Friday and see where it goes from here. So, again, year to date, I am up about 19.23% in the main account. And year to date on the 5K account is 17.4%. Looking at SPY year to date, SPY is up 17.28%. And QQQ is up 17.99%. So I'm beating QQQ by about, like, I don't know, a percent and some change. And I'm beating SPY about 2%. Let me just double check that real quick. Yeah, a SPY about 2%. And earlier in the year, I feel like this is where I was, like in like the January through May area, where I was trading a whole bunch. I was beating the market, but I wasn't beating it by a whole lot. I feel like I accelerated my trading through, you know, maybe like May to beginning of, to the end of July, you know, catching that really strong market rally upwards, where I was able to catch a substantial lead on the market. And now that the market's bouncing back, and now that I'm at a place where I'm 1% ahead of QQQ and 2% ahead of SPY, I'm trying to be more mindful of just keeping my money invested, and I don't want to fall behind QQQ or SPY. I don't want to have all my hard work be sort of for nothing. I'd like to maintain this lead, and it's just been extra tricky because a lot of the stocks that I kind of count on to help me beat the market include NVIDIA and AMD, which NVIDIA has earnings in about like a week and a half from now, which is making me feel a little antsy in getting into NVIDIA prior to that. I'd rather have just the earnings out of the way. I don't necessarily want to play earnings, but just knowing where the company is going, where the demand is, and just having that just out the window and I don't have to worry about it will give me more confidence to just wheel it without having the risk of having to hold through earnings in case the play goes south before then. So that's about my status update. I'm beating SPY and QQQ with the main account. And I'm kind of just sort of waiting for NVIDIA earnings to be over. I've been playing around with long calls a lot with Nike, and those have played out pretty well this week as well. I made like $1,000 buying 10 long calls on Nike. That was a pretty cool play because I had written up this DD and everything on a Google Doc. And it's a public Google Doc as well. Like, if you were there at the Twitch stream, I linked it in the chat for free. And it was just a really cool moment. I did some due diligence. I posted screenshots, and it looks like our technical paper. It's really short, though, and mostly just pictures, which is perfect, you know, for people like me that just want to look at pictures. And yeah, it worked out. It can't say that I'm profitable, though, buying long calls. Let me log into my Juni account and see the long call stats. Because as you know, I've been buying long calls more often. Yeah, and that $1,000 Nike play that I made was my first real sizable win. Long calls, I've opened, let me see, 16 of them. I've won 4 times. I've lost 12 times. My total gained is about $1,100. And I've lost a total of $2,900. I have a 25% chance to win. And my average profit is $291, while my average loss is $244. So even though my average profit is greater than my average loss per play, because my win percentage is 25%, this is not a scalable strategy until I've, you know, play a few more and see if I could get a few more of these home run-esque plays. I need my average profit to be much greater than my average loss, and my win percentage is this low. Because a low win percentage isn't bad if your average profit per trade is really large compared to your average loss. Do that on the flip side, where maybe like on a covered call or cash secured put, your win percentage is going to be pretty high, But your average profit compared to your average loss, if you ever do take one for a cash secured put, is going to be vice versa. It's going to be the other way around. Typically, because when you open a covered call or a cash secured put, you're taking on a defined amount of premium. You get paid right away, and that's all you can ever make. But in order or in exchange for that payment that you get up front, you're kind of responsible for a large sum amount of money. And, you know, assignment is cool, but sometimes some people don't want to take assignment and you'd rather just take the loss on your cash secured put. And that's where your losses can be much greater than the premium that you received. So that just is the sort of counterexample to, say, long calls, which have a low probability to win, but should have a higher max or a higher average profit than an average loss. And counter that, or, you know, opposite of that is a cash secured put, where the win percentage is actually quite high, but your average profit is going to be much lower than, say, your average loss in case if it does go wrong. There are many times, and I'm sure many people, that have never actually encountered a huge loss with cash secured puts. There, especially when you're just starting out, because it does take a while for you to have that, like, pennies in front of a steamroller type of moment where, like, wow, yeah, I should not have, you know, opened this for $100, and then you end up losing like $8,000. It sounds crazy, but it happens. So, you know, this is just something that I've been playing around with, like long calls and long puts, strictly because the profit potential for these are much higher than the max loss. Because I was pretty afraid of opening cash secured puts in the last 2 weeks, because as we've been going up, I didn't want to be sort of like head faked, and I didn't want to end up holding shares, because I'm not one to close out a cash secured put for red. I've always taken assignment in my past. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I might be jinxing it because I'm possibly thinking about doing something like that for Nvidia. We'll have to see. But I'd say like 99% of my trading history, I've always taken assignment on my cash secured puts, and it's more or less worked out. I have a CAG R, which is CAG R definition, because I did an AMA on R Theta Gang. And compound annual growth rate, which takes in a beginning value and a final value and time and years in the market. So AKA how much money you've deposited into the account, how much money you've withdrawn from the account, and then the final amount that you have today. And you do some fancy formula with the amount of time, which for me is about like 5.25 years. And I have a CAG R of like 19.2%, which is really good, apparently. And I was pretty proud to demonstrate that number. I've had a lot of really cool people tell me some stuff about how to gauge a portfolio, because I had named my, and here I'm going to go into like a kind of a, like a talking show mode right now. I'm just gonna kind of talk. This is everything I usually say is off script, but this is gonna be super off script. I had a AMA that I titled. I'm trying to find it now. Like, give me one moment. Ah, got it. So, I titled it AMA Full Time Retail Trader, Self Employed, Beanie Spy, and QQQ, and still of which is true. Still Beanie Spy and QQQ. You know, there were a lot of helpful people asking insightful questions on how I gauged it and how, you know, I'm doing in the market, what my risk was, all this stuff. Learning about Sharpe ratio. Sharpe ratio is something that I'm going to actually bring to the Theta Gang platform because of this post. I thought this was a really helpful way to get feedback just on what people care about a lot. And yeah, so I calculated my CAG R, which is 19.37%, which I believe should be higher now because I ended this week higher than when I posted this answer. But that means I have a net average return of about 19.37% each year for the last 5 years I've been trading, which is pretty good if you ask me. That means that over the last 5 years, and because, you know, SPY gives an average return of says roughly 10%, and I'm at 19.37. So I've beaten the market by double on average for the last 5.25 years. That's the equation that I used, or that's the amount of time I used for the equation. And yeah, I feel just super pumped to be able to continue to, like, I don't know, just be a reasonable example that people can just not like aspire to, because like beating it by double isn't necessarily amazing, I guess. Just being an example that you don't have to risk the entire bank to make this sort of return. I feel like I've been trading pretty responsibly this entire time. I've never been in a situation where I was sweating. Maybe the only time I was ever worried was like at the very bottom of COVID, when I was first assigned the $80,000 worth of stock, when I only had $80,000 in the portfolio and I was basically all in. That was pretty scary. But I mean, besides that and a potential world ending event where businesses were literally being shut down and there was no one on the freeway and there was no one at the grocery store, anyone that was at the grocery store had gloves and a mask on. Besides that, I feel like I haven't really like risked my entire portfolio for any trade. I stayed away from GameStop. I stayed away from AMC. No BlackBerry. You know, I'm not trying to make any home run huge play on anything meme-y. I'm just kind of doing my thing. And you know, whenever someone wants to talk about like, oh, do you know if Theta Gang style trades ever work? I hope that people point to me. I mean, I'm a great public example of the Theta Gang strategy able to work. And I feel like I've really found my niche on where I fit in like the trading fintech world, but more like fin world, you know? Yeah. Some of the things that I was not as happy about with the AMA was like, dude, some people on the internet are so mean, like just straight up. Like, luckily I have thicker skin, just because, you know, I like to talk a lot of poop to my friends. You know, I like roasting my friends. I love joking around my friends. Like, we will roast each other all day, call each other the most crazy things. It's so funny. I tear up laughing, you know, every few days, just because of how much we roast each other and how funny some of the things that we say. So I am pretty good when it comes to handling, you know, people, the disrespect thing. Like, I'm above it. There are people that just like also straight up lie though. Like, I don't sell any courses. I don't do any of that. Like, I have a Patreon if you want to help support, but like, I'm not selling you any sort of like, oh, sign up for my sick gains or like whatever. No, you're signing up for a Discord, and you're helping keep the website alive. You're helping me stay self-employed. And to support, it's only $40 a month. You see these option courses that charge like $5,000 a month or like $400 a week, or some crazy numbers that these other people are trying to sell stuff at. I'm just like, hey, you know, if you want to help support and also have a good group of traders to like trade with in the mornings, or you want the markets open, yeah, support and join a cool community at the same time. But like, I'm not trying to sell you or shill you on like some $5,000 options course. I think that's some of the most cringe things you can ever do, to be honest. But anyway, there were a lot of positive comments, which I would say also, and here is the last thing I'll talk about the AMA. There's something that Gary Vaynerchuk says. If you don't know him, that's probably better. If you do know him, you either love him or you hate him. He talks about how like love wins. Okay, it sounds cringe, but hear me out. When I first posted the AMA, I'd say like 80% of the comments were actually like pretty negative. And I just, you know, politely responded. I spoke with the facts and I spoke my truths. And I was getting downvoted. It felt kind of bad. I was kind of like, man, I tried to put this post together really nicely. I didn't like call anybody out or like make fun of anyone. It was just well-intentioned. It had like all the data I could ever provide about my trades and stuff. And there was just a lot of mean comments. It was actually the first time, because I've done this AMA sort of style thing probably four times now. This is my fourth post. And the first three were fine. This fourth one, oh man, yeah. I think what happens is, you know, if the first few comments are negative, the entire post starts negative. And yeah, during the first, like, the first or 1 or 2 hours, like 80% of the comments were negative. And it felt bad because, again, I put all this time and energy to make this post look really nice, say nice things, provide all the data, and I was ready. I was ready for the live stream. I was going to help answer questions. But yeah, there's just so many negative comments. I just politely responded. I said, thank you for reading and sorry you feel that way, but you know, here's my opinion and here are some more data points to help maybe reason through that. And I said, just like, have a great week. And so I stopped replying to those just because I felt like, you know, there's no point in trying to change anyone's mind on the internet because, you know, it takes two to communicate and someone in order to change their mind has to be willing to change their mind. And maybe that's probably not the right context to change someone's mind. So I was like, eh, I'll just leave that alone. And, you know, slowly but surely, I think because my post actually gave value, there was a slow trickle of actual questions or good positive feedback. Some people saying like, thank you for the transparency. You know, thank you for showing this. And, you know, I have a few questions about this, or have you heard of the Sharpe ratio? Have you calculated your CAGR? I can help you calculate your CAGR. Shout out to Kobe. If you listen to the podcast, thank you so much. I felt like that was a very defining moment for me, like understanding how I calculate that number and why that number is important. And slowly but surely, I stopped putting my energy into the negative comments, and I just sort of focused on trying to provide the best value to anyone that left me a positive message, or even if they seemed a bit critical, that was fine, because I think a healthy amount of skepticism is cool. You know, you want to ask the questions, you want to be sure before you glaze someone. I'm totally fine with that, right? Like, so I put my attention into that, and I think that provided a little bit more ethos for newer readers that are coming on later. And the moral of the story is, don't put energy into changing someone's mind that's, you know, doesn't want to have their mind changed, or someone that just has made their mind up on not wanting to like you or the value that you provide. It's cool. You don't meet eye to eye on that value. It's just, it's not meant for you. That's cool. But you want to focus on the people that are interested in you, that do want to get value out of whatever you're posting, and that do want help. And, you know, I'm on maybe the third day now of the AMA being out. And for the last two entire days of the questions that are still coming in, all positive, all just curious on how to make their trading year better, what's worked for me. And some are asking, like, what didn't work for me? And I'm responding that way too. And yeah, it was just really that first 2 hours, you know, and I could totally see this have blown up in a totally different way if I engaged differently within those first 2 hours. Like, thankfully, I have a bunch of friends that roast me every day that I roast back, and we have these undefeated roast sessions during jiu-jitsu. It's just so, so funny. But yeah, I'd say, you know, hate loves to snowball, so don't give it its energy. If you just stay true to who you are as a person and your character, I think it just shows it changes the vibe. It structures the vibe in a way that other people can pick up on it, aka the newer people that are coming into the post after it's gotten a chance to settle, and love will eventually win. You provide good value, people will ask genuine questions, and you know, hate can only grow so much without it like reverberating in some sort of echo chamber, right? So as long as you have good intentions and you give the positive energy your energy, and you know, you give some of the negative energy some thought, maybe you reflect on it. How could I like, for example, and maybe this is the last part of the thing I'll say. There's just so many things to learn from this sort of moment, right? For the negative comments, right? Like, I could maybe structure the way that I say some things differently I could show my data differently. A lot of the criticism came from the fact that people didn't think that I was a full-time trader. I don't know. I spend the entire market hours of my morning trading. I think that makes me a full-time trader. I don't think having to pay my rent via the direct income I make from my stocks makes me a full-time trader. That makes zero sense to me. I could just maybe worded it better. That's what I'm learning. Is like, if the general population thinks that was a bit tricky of a statement to say, yeah, I'll word it better next time. Or maybe, you know, I'll keep my AMA more results focused. I won't talk about necessarily that I'm self-employed and a full-time trader. I'll just kind of leave that in the background and not mention it at all. Because my initial thought was I would provide an example of someone that wanted to do this full-time. Here I am. I've made almost $60,000 on a 300K portfolio for this year. You know, I'd say that's somewhat livable. I mean, that's pre-tax, but it's like somewhat livable. And yeah, I'm just a real life example of it. But people are so hung up on the fact that, like, I don't know, I have a Patreon or that I stream on Twitch, that I'm not a full-time trader. Like, what? I make like $100 or, you know, $100 at best. Most month I make $90 on Twitch. But that doesn't make me a full-time streamer. Right? Like, what the heck? I don't know. It's just funny. Anyway, put your attention into people that want your attention. And I feel like the fact that ever since I got laid off and I've realized why my day is so much better than before, not to give like a lot of copium about not having 9 to 5, because That was mentioned a lot in the AMA as well. It's like people would be like, oh, you know, you're so lucky to be doing this. And anytime someone's mentioned that in the AMA, I've always said, you know, you have a lot going for yourself too. I would rather have, or maybe not rather, I didn't sit structure like that, but I was like, a W-2 paycheck is nice as well. You know, grass is greener. I think right now, the thought of having a W-2 paycheck sounds really nice, because I am having to like really try to structure how much money I'm making in from Patreon and moving around some of that to personal, but also moving some of what I make from the stock market to personal. I'm like juggling all these finances around. I'm budgeting. And so I'm like, oh man, this W-2 paycheck sounds nice, man. But anyway, now that the copium's over for W-2 / being self-employed, being happy involves doing the things that you want to do. I think a big change, I mentioned this in the 1% section of the podcast or the ending of the podcast a bunch of times, but starting your day off in a meeting that you do not want to be in, it sucks, because that is a bad feeling. It feels like a waste of time. It feels like all these bad emotions. Of course, W-2 paycheck kind of makes that a bit better. But again, time versus money versus livelihood versus wholesomeness, whatever. But that goes with the same energy and theming of the AMA. Spend time the way that you want to spend it, meaning spend energy where you want the energy of that particular thing that you want to grow. That AMA had a lot of negativity in the beginning. If I gave more energy to the negativity in the beginning, it could have probably snowballed and turned into something really bad. But I didn't. I gave it some energy, some thought, and I just ended it there. And then I started focusing on people that actually wanted to interact with me, which is a strict parallel to how I feel during the live stream. Before, I used to be in a stand-up meeting where no one wanted to be at, say, the stand-up meeting. It feels like a waste of time, no blockers, everything's good, and whatever. The camera on, because you have to have your camera on. It just feels sort of bad, you know? It's like, it just feels like you have to do it. But going to the live stream, and whenever I live stream, I'm very cognizant that everyone is choosing to be there. It's a wild thing to think about. You know, I went from being in a meeting in the morning that I sort of dreaded. I didn't like the morning meeting. I thought it was just like so pointless, and I really felt like, especially if it ran late, I really felt like I was trading literally my time for my money. But instead of spending my energy into something that I felt was sucking my energy, I'm now putting my energy into, say, the live stream, and I'm now surrounded by people that want to be there, and it's made a great impact in how I feel throughout the day. It doesn't make a great impact to my wallet, gonna be honest. Again, that's where the W-2 paycheck sounds nice, but I'm just letting y'all know of some of the things that I'm seeing from the other side. Because I'd say most of you that are listening have a job. I'm not saying quit, because I really don't think right now in this economy, this is the economy to quit. If you have a job, hold on to it. Just like do the side project thing after work like I did. And then maybe if you get let go, you know, hoping that that doesn't happen to you, knocking on wood right now, then maybe, you know, you make the jump. But, you know, it does feel nice putting energy into things where those things also bring energy to you, right? Like just how like sort of like negativity can echo and build up, I think positivity can also echo and build up. It's just, thankfully, I think most people are just generally good. It's just like, if it's going to be a little nerdy here, I think negativity has a lot more volatility. It has more VIX. When negativity spikes, I feel like a lot of people just kind of like gang up together and say, oh yeah, this really does suck. I feel like negativity can really blow up. And I'm sure that there's some science to that, because puts become really expensive on the way down, or, you know, clickbaity articles typically have negative titles. So there's something about us and human psychology about that. But, you know, maybe there's some ways that you can apply this to your everyday. I know we're kind of going off topic with the whole trading thing, but hey, this is my podcast. I'm going to talk about what I want. Just maybe this week, you just be more cognizant of putting your energy into things that make you happy. Again, this doesn't mean quit your job or anything, but it does mean like spend maybe a little bit more time doing things that you like to do, and spend a little bit less energy or time doing things that you don't like to do. And the earlier you can do that in the day has been a sort of life changer for me. Now, I don't know exactly if I can do this for the rest of my life, right? I want kids one day, I want a house one day. So if I can't scale this up, there's a chance that, you know, I'll have to work at a W-2 job and do all that stuff. But I know now what I really value during the workday. Whether or not the timing of when I have to pick up the W-2 job allows me to pick and choose between jobs that may have these things that I value or has these things that I don't like is up to, it's up to life. It's up to life and how life wants to deal me the cards. But I'm thankful to be on this journey. And I think I've learned a lot from this AMA. Seeing that this is the most, initially most negative one, but turned out to be a great AMA. There's tons of stuff on there. Lots of great questions asked. Again, I calculated my CAGR, which I'm still misremembering. Compound annual growth rate. Again, 19.37. It's only double, but you know, just doing it live. So I think I get a few more bonus points for that, at twitch.tv/realthetagang. You can just stop by, just keep the stream on, and just kind of lurk. You don't need to say anything. I like to say good morning to you. If you say good morning to me, that's kind of a thing that I do. But you know, if you don't want to say anything, that's cool too. You can just like sit back, relax, work on your own stuff. Typically, I'm just like staring at charts and clicking through things and, you know, making comments on a few things. It's a very chill like hour or two in the morning. But all while showing every single trade that I make live. I'm not hiding my window. I don't hide my profit loss or anything. It's all there for you to see. And I've been doing this every day, or every Monday through Friday, since November of last year. And we're approaching November of this year. And it feels like life and time has gone by so fast. I'm about to get married in like really soon. We're talking like 8 months. Holy moly. I feel like it's going by so fast. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. More of a wholesome ending to the podcast. Put energy into things that want to put energy into you. I think negativity is very volatile, like the VIX. But you know, if you provide true value, say for example, you are a scammer and someone outs you and there's a lot of negativity there, the negativity will win, AKA the positivity, because you're a scammer, I guess. But if you are someone that makes like documentaries that you're really passionate about, maybe you have a personal brand or a sauce and people are talking smack about you, or maybe you have a trading platform, trade logging platform that people are talking smack about, or you have a trading style that people do not agree with. If you make a genuine post that is as factual as possible and you try to provide as much value as possible, positivity will win, because at the very end of the day, you are still bringing value. Despite people's negative emotions or not, you bringing positive value will reach the more amount of people that are interested in that topic than there are just like blatantly trying to bring you down. And so again, don't try to interact too much with people that are too negative. There's a lot of truth or some truth in what they say, so don't ignore it completely, but there's a lot of feedback to be learned from both the positive side and the negative side. The trickiest part, because we're human, it's the emotional part. And that's another parallel with the stock market. The stock market, man, we can run everything down with numbers and whatnot. We can have the strategy down to a T. But when you get scared, you can scare out and then sell for a loss, even though your system said not to, even though this said that and this said that. Or, you know, your system says, hey, don't buy more here because, you know, things are getting too hot. It's too frothy. The market's too up. And you're like, you know what? Never mind. I'll go in. Boom. You got too excited. You were too emotional and the market corrects. If we were robots, trading would be so much easier. If we were robots, I think starting your own company would be easier. But we're not. We're subject to emotion, and it's just something I think I don't like using the word entrepreneur because it sounds it sounds pretty cringe. I don't like calling myself an entrepreneur, but it is the entrepreneur life. There are a plethora of reasons and things that will get you down, but you just got to keep going. If you believe in your product enough, if you believe in the value that you bring, you'll be fine. Because again, you'll be your own best critic as well. You feel like, the thing that I'm providing isn't actually the best value, or I feel like I could be making this better. That's the gauge you should be going off of. Be true to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. If people really don't like it, people actually don't like it. You don't have to like justify it for yourself. But if you notice that there are a lot of people saying nice things about your product, but a few people that don't like your product, hey, just lean in more to the people that do believe in your product and maybe even ask them how to make it better. How do you communicate better? Like, ask the people that are respectful to you for respectful ways of improving the product. Whew, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, sorry to get into that sort of mindset. We're going to get into the outro, and I'll see everyone next week on next week's podcast episode. NVIDIA earnings are coming up soon, which is what I'm looking out for in particular. But other than that, yeah, a lot of the old trades that I used to have off the table are now on the table. I have cash secured puts on AMD and NVIDIA. I also have a Costco buy right, which I haven't done in forever, but it's back on, and I'm just going to be managing that. Anyway, I'll see everyone on next week's episode. I'm going to the outro now, and everyone have a nice rest of your day. Bye-bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TastyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TastyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks though, so check it out again at patreon.com/thetagang if you're interested in helping support. Oh my god, I gotta start packing. I gotta leave for the trip very soon. I'm usually very good about packing and whatnot, but this podcast took a little bit longer to record than I would have liked, but it's okay. It's okay. As long as I enjoy the process, it's fine. Bringing up the patron list now. Let me see here. Yep, let me expand this. Yeah, I want to say a huge thank you to Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, ZKMSZ, Joe Quart, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar22, Bachata Thug, Nala, J Perkins86, Strategy28, Louis BG, TWall3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rusty, RSD, Can't See the Jester, Grandpa95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Master XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lars Skeletor, Pig Trader, Major, Tecomi Elmo, Averillion, R. Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danu9000, Danger10, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Loido, Bearded Savage, Dang High, Clutch, Suede Slides, Asha Kabat, AJ Tar Heel, Bustin' Justin, Andy V, SWH, JHS, Spammy Spam, Arfman, Memement, MX7, Vegeta, Plant, Cake McMoney, IRL, and Maltman1856. Yeah, thanks again to all the patrons that helped support me and my self-employed journey as a full-time streamer slash trader slash software engineer slash UX designer slash podcast host. It's a whole lot of things, man. It's been fun. It's still fun. I think working on the website is more fun than ever. I'm arguably doing like a pretty big change, like at least once a week. Oh, also shout out to Asan. I think that's his name. I'm just gonna double check. I don't wanna say the wrong name because you were so helpful. Asan, yeah. Asan, I don't know if you listen to the podcast. Instead of replying to you via email, I'm literally just going to say thank you here and thank you for the bug reports. He sent me two bug reports, or one bug report with a tracker with screenshots. Amazing. Got the bug fixed. And then there was another bug with the tracker that he found after the fact, and then I fixed that. So we fixed two huge bugs that have been in there for about like 3 weeks that no one else noticed, apparently, or noticed and then sent me an email. So Asan, thank you so much. I do want to start something for people that do send in bug reports that are really nice. Maybe give them a title, maybe like you know, Junie, comma, the bug hunter, or something like that. I think that's super cool. Let me add that to my list. I just know that I'm going to just get a plethora of people sending in bugs. Oh my goodness. That would be a good thing. Maybe I don't give out a title for it. Maybe I just give it as an achievement. I don't know. We'll see. The Bug Hunter. So there's that. Anything else? Oh yeah, so there was like a huge, there's a pretty big data change in one of the providers that I use. So I had to rewrite a pretty critical piece of the website just to make it work functionally like it did before it just broke. But I had to rewrite several hundreds of lines of code, but it was like literally 200, so like, you know, 200 lines essentially. That was kind of annoying, but glad that's over. I'm finding out that, you know, as the longer that I have this project, yeah, I've already had to swap my database provider. I've had to swap my caching provider. I've had to swap my cloud provider, just because of so many businesses either going out of business or getting acquired or switching their business model or no longer providing this data. Dude, datagain.com has been around for like 5 years. You know, it started in 2019. And yeah, it's not even growing pains anymore. I feel like growth is pretty stable. It's just more or less like other companies that DataGain kind of grew on have had to switch, again, their business model or got acquired or went out of business or something. So that's also something I'm noticing. Half a decade, that's a thing I could say. DataGain.com has been around half a decade. That's pretty crazy. I wonder what the next big change will be. Right now I'm working on the tracker, making that look prettier, making that be able to show your profit loss. Shout out to Ben Adushi for that inspo. I think being able to show your profit loss in the tracker based on what trades you want to track is probably the best place to put it. After just like doing some like UX design of like where I want that experience to be of knowing where you are year to date with those trades, it's probably the best place to put it. And then yeah, just helpful comments again from the AMA, being able to calculate my CAG R. I wish I could bring the CAG R into ThetaGain.com, but because it's so reliant on what your deposits and withdrawals are for your brokerage, I don't really care if someone deposits or withdraws from their account. So I don't want to necessarily put CAG R on ThetaGain.com. More like trade ideas instead. But Sharpe ratio from the limited ChatGPT that I did is calculatable with the amount of data that you already input. So I would love to know my own Sharpe ratio. A lot of people have been putting emphasis on that because my CAG R is 19.37, which is about double SPY. It's pretty good, but people say that, you know, if I risk too much to get that, then maybe it's not as good. Maybe I just got lucky for 5 years in a row. That's been a pretty common criticism. But yeah, just kind of happy to still be here. Happy to be live streaming in the morning every day. Grateful that I got a fiance. Grateful that I got a good group of friends in really all the different types of hobbies I have. I have like pickleball friends. I got jiu-jitsu friends. I got like used to live with friends. I don't know. I still got my mom and dad, which is really cool. I got my mom, dad, and stepdad. Dude, I got 150% return on that. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things to be grateful for. I don't have a job and I don't have a paycheck coming in. I wish I had a paycheck coming in. But I don't, but that's why I look towards the things that I am grateful in, and I'm putting energy and thought into the things that I have, you know, more to be excited about, at least for right now. I can imagine if I was stressing about money, if I had loans, if I had a lot of debt, things would be looking a lot different. But I set myself up for success here, or at least the most amount of success that I can receive by not having debt or loans. And really, that's thanks to my mama. That's my mom. My mom always taught me to be financially responsible, and that's made a lot of this journey being self-employed even more scary, because my mom definitely would not agree with this move. But it's a nice change of pace. It's a nice way to reset, and I'm looking forward to what the future brings. I am looking towards finishing the year strong with my trading performance, looking to finish the year strong with higher view count than last year for Twitch, wanting to get more partnerships with different financial institutions for ThetaGain.com. That'd be awesome. But also open to the reality where I have to support a family. I have to buy a house. And all that really scary adult stuff. But I don't know the answers to everything right now. I don't know what I exactly need right now, but I do know what I do like to do, and I'm going to keep doing that. I'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.